I love the name of Jesus, don't you? I was singing that song and I couldn't help but think about the verse over in Philippians. I know most of you probably could quote it. It says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And that's something. You think about all the atheists and all the God haters, and one day they're going to bow the knee and they're going to confess. Well, glory to God. It's good to be saved, isn't it? This world's gone crazy, but I'm glad I'm saved and safe in the arms of Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm kind of heavy tonight, and I really don't have a message that's in that line. I want to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. A little bit burdened some way or another. I want to read a very familiar passage. It's really an odd passage to preach from, and I don't know. It may be more like a Sunday school lesson than it is a message. But I'm just going to look at I told you this morning the significance of the insignificant. The significance of the insignificant. 1 Samuel chapter 17, and I'm going to start in verse 31, but before I do, I want to pray just quickly. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight, and Lord, I just sense your presence here some way or another. I just sense you with us, and I pray you touch me and help me to just unload this how you want it, and Lord, you just do with it what needs doing. You know I'm nothing, nobody. And I know you know that I'm aware that my sufficiency is of you. Please help me now. Let me help your saints some way. Let me help them, be a blessing to them. Father, you speak through me. Give me clarity of thought and speech and help me to glorify you. And in all things, if there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you refrain it for a little while and just hold it back and do what needs doing and get all the glory, Father. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to read just a little passage of Scripture. And then just give you a few little points and we'll be through tonight. I'm not going to try to do more than what God gave me. But let's begin to read. Here's what's happened. David has agreed to fight Goliath. And Saul tells him, he says, you can't fight Goliath. Notice, let me see if I can... verse 33. Notice Saul's false thinking. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." Now here's what Saul said. Well, you're just a kid. You can't fight Goliath. And he, a man of war from his youth. He said, now Goliath could fight when he's a youth, but you can't fight when you're a youth. I want to tell our young people, you can fight as a youth. That's right, you can fight. There's a lot of Sauls out there that will tell you you can't do anything, but that's not so. That's just not the case. You can be used of God if you allow Him to use you. And so Saul is telling David why he can't do what he's saying he's going to do. And there'll be a lot of people try to hinder you as you fight the good fight of faith. A lot of times it's people close to you. Sometimes I have seen, there are times that I've seen parents hinder their children in serving the Lord with good intentions. They had good intentions. They meant well. But really, they were a hindrance. And so here's what I want to challenge the youth. It's not part of the message. I'm just talking right now. I'm just challenging you all. Let the Lord use you. Just let the Lord use you. All right. So Saul's telling David in verse 33, you can't fight with him. You're just a youth, even though he fought when he was a youth. And so David says this. Here's David's response to Saul in verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear. And I don't think that means at the same time. You all can, if you disagree with me on that, that's okay. But I think it's two different occasions the way it continues to read. There came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him, not them. I went after him, he's talking about the lion now, and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. So we see a very, maybe what you and I would call an insignificant event in David's life. I mean, this is just part of being a shepherd. It's just part of looking after sheep. There's predators that come along and that's just what shepherds do. They protect the sheep. And so as I begin to think about this story, why is it the Holy Ghost has penned this in the Scriptures for you and I? Is there anything that we can learn from this little passage? And really, it's really a side story to the real story of David fighting Goliath. We know that. It's just a little maybe rabbit trail for us to run down, but I want us to think about what lessons we can learn from this text. Is there anything you and I can learn from David fighting the lion and the bear, who took a lamb out of the flock, and he recovered it, and the Lord delivered him out of the paw of both the lion and the bear, and saved him as a shepherd boy. And so I started thinking about that, and the first thing I think of, and I, like I said, this may be a little Sunday school lesson this evening more than a message, but the first thing I think of is just what my title said many times, the so-called insignificant events of our life are significant. Here's what I think David probably said. My, that was a rough day at the office today. And I understand what I mean by that phrase. It was a hard day at work, if that'd be a better way to say it. We had a hard day, and my, here come the lion, and my, we were in great jeopardy there for a little while. And then maybe here's how I've got it in my mind. It was a big deal to him for a while, but a day or two passed, and it kind of knocked the edge off of it, off of the situation. A few more days passed, a week, a month, however long it was. And as time went on, that event in his life maybe grew a little more dim to him than it was on the front end. David may have thought this event was nothing more than just the work of a shepherd. He may have thought that this was just what he was supposed to do. But I want to say this to you. God used that event in David's life to help him fight bigger and better adversaries than the lion and the bear. And I think the great lesson, one of the first lessons I want to mention, is that God has a hand in our life. And the things that you and I go through, the things we encounter, the things we deal with, the path of life that it just seems like somehow God took us down, God uses that to prepare us for the work He has for us to do. I think about how I came to Blount County. I think about that sometimes. It seems so happen chance. It just seemed like it just happened that I ended up in Blount County. I could go through the long story of it, born and raised, an hour down the road, and went here and went there, and all the turns and the twists that was involved in my life, and never did I imagine that God sent me to Blount County. I'm just telling you how it was. Maybe I was spiritually dull. Maybe I was just spiritually not with it. But as I look back and I look at those events in my life that seemed insignificant, seemed to have no spiritual value to them, I see how God was molded. He put me in the insurance business. I'm as backward as a man can be. I'm the last person that ought to be selling. I couldn't sell a heater to an Eskimo, I don't guess. I do not have that ability. But God put me in that, and He took some of the things that I learned in that business and some of the little insignificant events that I went through and some of the people I met. He taught me lessons about from their lives that helped me in the ministry. Here's what I'm saying. Many times God takes insignificant, what we term insignificant events in our life, and uses them to mold us into what He wants us to be. That's how it is. We're all different. We've all had a path of life. We've all got the things that have shaped and molded us and made us what we ought to be. And so the first thing I see from this little text is that the insignificant events of our life many times are significant. Some have come to our church and joined up from all over the place. Bill and Lars from Michigan and the Gambrels and Brother Daniel and Savannah's from Ohio. And I don't know if we got anybody else from somewhere else, but you know what I really think? I think God's brought us all together. I really believe that. I know you may just think, well, it's just insignificant how this all worked out. I don't think that at all. I think God brought us together. He brought us together to carry out a work here. And all the things that, as a group, all the cumulative shapings and movings and developments of our life that we just thought was life, God has used them to make us for His work what He wants us to be. And so that's the first thing I see. But as I come to the second point, that I've just got five or six of these, so I won't be long. But as I come to the second point, I want to say what I see in this text is that rescue and deliverance in most cases must be initiated. Now here's the thing. David could escape conflict with a lion. The reason there was a battle was because David initiated the battle. I want you to notice verse 35. The lion had the lamb or the sheep. He had what he wanted. He was on his way leaving. David could have easily have sacrificed the lion for his safety, but notice the lion didn't pick the fight with David, but David in his attempt to rescue and deliver this lamb that was given to his, that was placed in his responsibility, he pursued and initiated a battle or a confrontation with a lion. Now that's a really an insignificant thing. You may think I'm pushing the scriptures, but can I tell you, I think if we're going to rescue sinners from the devil, we're going to have to initiate the action. I don't think it's just going to happen. I don't think if we just stand here and look around and don't do anything, I don't think there's going to be any rescuing of anybody or anything, because the devil's not going to mess with us as long as he gets what he wants. And there's a world outside this church that the devil has a hold of, and if we don't initiate an action, he'll tear them off to hell one of these days. That's right. David started this fight with a lion. He initiated it. I would say the lion didn't want to fight. He wanted to eat supper, if I could say that. But David had other plans. The lion was leaving, but David initiated confrontation. I'm going to say this. I believe I'm right when I say this. The rescuing those who have been captured by the adversary is an offensive endeavor. What I mean by that, we'll have to initiate action. If we're going to be used by the Lord to rescue souls, we're going to have to initiate confrontation. I don't know if that means a thing to you or not. That means a lot to me. Because I'm afraid we've not been as active in the pursuit of sinners as we ought to have been. And I think the Lord expects us to do that. And then I might say this too, deliverance requires, if we're going to be used by God to deliver sinners, it requires personal involvement. I want you to notice verse number 35. And I went out after him. Now here's what we would have said, might have said, too dangerous. Here's what we might have said, it'd do no good for me to chase that lion. I'd never catch up to him. We might have said that. The point I'm making, we might have made a lot of excuses why we ought not have went after that little lamb who was near destruction anyway. David might have said, well, he's already mangled him up by now, and he probably won't even recover from what the damage that's already been done. But David personally got involved in the deliverance of this lamb. He didn't expect some other shepherd to take care of it. He didn't expect anyone or anything else to do what needed doing. David himself got involved in the lamb's deliverance. And I want to say, I believe this is right. David was willing, and you'll have to understand the word I'm using. David was willing to get his hands dirty in delivering this lamb. This wasn't something he stood off and supervised. This wasn't something he stood back and looked at and made a commentary on and wrote a lesson about and taught a message about, preached a message about. Here was a lamb that was soon to die, and David cared enough to get involved and spend his time trying to rescue it. We don't have time to rescue those. That's in the lion's mouth. You know I'm preaching right this evening. You know that's right. We're too busy. I believe this is right, and I've thought about it. If we're going to deliver sinners, we're going to have to get involved in the process. There's not many that's in the delivering business. And I understand he's going to give the Lord credit in verse number 37, but it's a two-way, it's a two-sided involvement. That's one of my points. I'll just go ahead and tell you now. David had his part to do, and when David did his part, God did his part, you see. We can't just blame God on not doing what He ought to do when you and I are not doing what God wants us to do, don't you see? I'm afraid we're not about personal involvement when it comes to sinners. I wonder if we just don't want to get our hands dirty. I just wonder that. And if we are like that, can I just say shame on us? Shame on us. If I'm like that, shame on me. If we're going to be used of God to deliver sinners from the clutches of Satan, we're going to have to get involved with our lives. And here's the thing, we just don't have time. And what little time we do, we need to rest. And can I tell you that old lion is carrying lamb after lamb after lamb to the slaughter while we're taking it easy. Here's David. And so we see that rescue and deliverance has to be initiated, and deliverance requires personal involvement. And then I want to say another little truth I see in this text is it's right to lay down our life for those entrusted to our care. It's right to lay down your life. Here's what we try to do. We try to have our life and still serve God. Our life ought to be serving God. That's right. That ought to be what our life is about. It's right to lay down your life for those entrusted to your care. Mom and Dad, it's right for you to give your life for your children. That's right. It's right for the pastor to give his life to help the flock of God that God's entrusted to him. That's a right thing. Here's the fact of the matter. Israel could have lost one of the greatest kings that they ever had in this encounter. David may have known that he's headed. I'm not sure when he really realized he's headed to the throne. But he may have known God had a plan for his life at this point. It very well could be. And Israel could have lost. He could have been killed. But here's the thing of it. God had entrusted a responsibility to his care. He was a steward over those. That little flock of sheep meant nothing. Eliab, his brother, made fun of him for that little old flock of nothing sheep down there. But the Father had entrusted David with that little flock, and David was faithful enough and cared enough or responsible enough or whatever word you want to use. He was willing to risk his life to protect what he had been entrusted with. And surely you see the spiritual lesson there. Surely you see that. My, you know, we just don't give our life for the Lord anymore. People don't give their life. Can I just read a few verses to you? You won't even have to turn. I'll just read them to you. We have such a cheap Christianity we live today. It doesn't cost us anything to live for the Lord. What's it cost you to live for the Lord? Here's what many of you would say, not much, preacher, but can I tell you, there's some people that's paid the prices. Go to Hebrews 11, begin to read. And others, they were sawn asunder, tortured, and suffered at the edge of the sword, and they were destitute, and they lived in the mountains and caves. And you might think, well, that's just God's judgment on it. But he goes on to say, of whom the world was not worthy of. You know what they were doing? They give their life. They give their life for the cause of Christ. Here's what Paul said in chapter Acts 20 and 24. But Brother Hill preached on this not long ago. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's the Apostle Paul. He said, really, my life's not important. What's really important, that I serve God and obey Him. Now, where is that at today? Where's that attitude at in this world we're living in? I've got over here where Epaphroditus gave his life for the cause of the ministry. Priscilla and Aquila, they risked their life for the cause of the ministry. Can I tell you what those early saints did? Their life was serving God. That's what they did. Mike, and I say to you here in our text, we see David, he laid down his life. He laid down his life for those entrusted to his care. And then I just want to stop a minute. I know as a little small, insignificant flock of sheep, but can I just make application here? Regardless of how insignificant what God's entrusted to your care is, you ought to give 100% to protect it. I think about the little toddlers class that Sharon teaches. I mean, just little kids, a lot of teachers, all they do is try to make it a babysitting hour. They just take those little kids and just try to pacify them for an hour to get them through the Sunday school hour. And Sister Sharon, I believe you do this. I believe she does her best to try to get some little truth in their heart and life. Try to do all she can. Mike could step up to Brother Brian's class, just little 10 and 12 year olds. Brian, I don't know what age. Here's what I could say, and I'm not insulting you young folks in these classes, but there'd be a lot of folks say, well, that's just little kids. They're not that important. But can I tell you, if God's entrusted you and Brother Allen, those kids, you ought to give your best. You ought to lay down your life for them, Brother Brian. That's what you ought to do. That's what we're at. My, the teen class with Chad and Brother Mike, just teenagers, they're not going to listen. They're hard-headed. They're rebellious. They're this. They're that. Can I say, Chad, you ought to just lay down your life for them. God's entrusting them to your care. Singing in the choir. I look at our choir sometimes, and you know how you ought to sing in the choir? Like you're singing a solo. You ought to do your very best. As if it depends on you. We ought to just give our all. Whatever God, the point I'm trying to make is this. Whatever God has entrusted us with, let's give our all to be all we can be and to be responsible for what God's entrusted to our care. I see that David laid down his life. So we see that the insignificant becomes significant. We see that rescue and deliverance, it's initiated in most cases. I know sometimes maybe the sinner cries out for help. I understand that, but in most cases, you and I is going to have to initiate our action if we're going to deliver the sinner. And the deliverance requires personal involvement. You know who pinned that lion down, grabbed him by the beard, and slew him? It was David. It was David. And you know who's going to win that sinner that you're troubled over and you're worried about? Most likely it's going to be you. That's right. Most likely it's going to be you. And then I said this morning, I'm going to say it again, not all battles we're called upon to fight are about us. Really? I could coast it out. I'm 65. I'm saved. My family, a good part of them are saved. Fact of the matter is, I could just find me somewhere to attend and just take life easy and coast along. I'm old enough, I could draw a little Social Security and I could live pretty good. But you know why I'm fighting the battles I'm fighting? I said it to you this morning. I know you do know. I'm fighting for these young people. I'm fighting for my children, my grandchildren, to have a place where truth is proclaimed in a world of deception and lies and false doctrine and deceit on every hand. I'd like for there to be a little church in Wallen, Tennessee, where people could come and just hear truth. I mean, just get pure truth. Just the Bible's opened up. Nobody's telling stories. Nobody's trying to entertain. Nobody's trying to be a comedian. None of that stuff. Somebody just opens up the Bible and teaches and preaches the truth of God's holy word. My, that's what I'm fighting for. Why is it I run people off with a dress, talking about modest dress and men being the head of the house? Why would I not build a great work? I'm fighting a battle for the young folk, and that's why you're standing where you're standing. You care, and you're fighting for truth and fighting for the glory of God. This place, this community, my, their son don't care about truth. They just have a little slick down message to get a big crowd in. It's nothing more than a playhouse. You know I'm telling you right. Not all battles. This battle was about the lamb, not about David. The lion and the bear wasn't after David's life. It was after the lamb. But he was the overseer. He's the one been given responsibility to look after and protect. And I'm going to tell you this, as much as in me is, if the Lord will help me, as much as in me is, I'm going to protect these young folk from error and false doctrine as long as I possibly can. That's right. And I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to help me do that. Y'all do that in the Sunday school classes. Y'all do that in your family devotions at home. We ought to be building some walls of protection around these young folk so when the adversary comes after them and begins to woo them with their smooth talk that they can say, "Thus saith the Word of God. Here's what God has to say about it, friend." And they can escape the pitfalls of religion of our day. That's right. This battle's not about us. You old heads, it's not about us. It's about them. You say, well, I'm old and broke down. I don't feel like going to church. You ought to go set a good example for the young people. I didn't get many amens, but I got one from Brother Hill. You know why he loves to go to church? He knows the importance of the church house. That's right. Hey, can I say this, old people? These young people are watching your life. They're watching your life. They see if you're unfaithful or faithful. They see if you're real or fake. They know if you're serious about this thing or just playing. They know all that. We're not fooling them. The battles we're fighting. Let me just go on, close out here in a minute. The battles we're fighting is for our families. Dad, you know why you're fighting spiritual battles in the home? For your children. You know what this battle, I'll give him another point, he'll just tie in, always kind of tie in together. You know why that battle was important that David fought? It provided safety for the future. That's right. If that lion had been successful in getting one of them little lambs, you reckon it wouldn't be back in a few days to get another. That's right. We've lost some to the lion. It breaks my heart too. I don't know if it's us or I don't know what the cause was, if it's the home or the church or the just rebellion. I don't know. I'm telling you this, he'll be back to get another one. Young folks look at me, he's coming back to get another lamb. I don't know when, but if he's successful in getting some out of here, he'll be back. That's right. He may come for this front row right here. But I'll tell you what David did. He realized if there's going to be safety in the future, he's going to have to whip this lion, kill him now. That's right, or he'll be back. Mom, Dad, let me tell you this. You better kill some lions around your house. They'll carry your kids away, and then they'll come back and get another one. Another one. They're never satisfied. This lion would not have been, as long as they was a flock, had you left him alone, he would not have been satisfied till he got every one of them. You see, today's battles provide safety for the future. This church is going to be safe in the future. We've got to fight the battles today. We have to fight them. Let me just say this. If we don't fight them, guess who's going to be left to fight them when we're gone? Our children. They may not be able to fight. They may take our lead, and because we didn't fight, they may not fight. Today's battle with the lion provides safety for the future. The battles, and I'll just give you these others quickly. The battles, and it goes without saying, the battles we engage in today prepare us for future battles. Now I want you to think about it. And I could have become much more involved in it and give you many more details, but David battled the lion. Then he battled the bear. Then he battled Goliath. And then he battled Saul, king of Israel. And then he battled the enemies of Israel. And then he battled his own family, Absalom, tried to overthrow him. Can I tell you, the adversaries just become greater and greater and greater in his life. And you old heads know this. I've said this to you multiple times. I thought when I was young and had a small family, I'd get my kids raised and my house paid for, no bills. Man, I'll have a good life, no worries. What a fool I was. How foolish I was. Fact of the matter is, the older you get, the burdens get heavier. And the struggles get greater. And the problems increase. Now I've got my family I worry about. And it just seems to get more and more and more and more. But aren't you glad as we win one little battle, that helps us face the next battle? Brother Ronnie, I just thinking about your situation there, and you see a little improvement along. Don't that help you? I mean, I just, you know what I say when I see that? I just say prayer works, prayer pays off. You know what it helps me do? It helps me fight the next battle. It helps me face the next one. It helps me go on. That's what happened here with little David. He whipped this bear and he whipped this lion. God wrought the victory. He admits that. But what it did, it gave him boldness and courage to encounter Goliath. God gave him the victory over Goliath. And then he had to encounter Saul, the king of Israel. My, how do you win that battle? The same way that you won the battle with Goliath and with the bear and with the lion. You do your part, let God do His part. My, that's how you do it, don't you see? And I will say this to you young people, the battles only become more intense as life progresses. That's how it is. And then there's a few other little things that go along with that. The battle won with the lion revealed to David where the victory came from. Look in chapter 17, I believe it is, verse 37. The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. How are we going to win in this thing? How is it we're going to get ahead in this battle we're in? The Lord's going to have to give us the victory. We can do our little part, but here it is, church. I keep telling you this over and over and over again. We need the Lord to work in our midst. It's the Lord who will give us victory. Otherwise, we'll suffer defeat. We need to understand that. And so as I look at this little text, that's my little message. I could have picked out and put a little twist on a couple of other things, but here's where we're at. We're in a battle. We have to fight today's battles to give us the faith to face tomorrow's battles. We have to look to the Lord. We have to realize we're fighting for something more than just ourselves. We're fighting for those who would be taken captive by that lion, that roaring lion that walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We're fighting for those who would be victims and casualties of the lion. And we're going to have to get involved in it. It can't be just a standoffish thing. Here's David. He goes to the lion and he rescues the lamb. And the lion turns on him. He gets him by the beard and he slew the lion. My, we're going to have some hand-to-hand spiritual confrontation. I don't see any other way. I see no other way. And here's the question tonight. Are we willing to do that? Do we have the time? Are we willing to spend our energies on that? Are we willing to go after that lamb that's already in the lion's mouth? Are we? That's the question to ask yourself. Are you too afraid? Are you too afraid to fight? Are you too afraid to challenge? Are you too afraid to seek to rescue? Are you too lazy? Are we too, what, fill in the word? I don't know. But I do know this, there's a lot of lambs in the lion's mouth that need somebody to rescue them. Let's bow our heads this evening. I'm through. We'll ask somebody to come to the piano. Where are you at, my friend? Where are you at? You willing to be honest with the Lord? God spoke to your heart. You need to pray tonight. You come. If not, we'll go. Just a few minutes.